Al Capp, of course, became very famous. He had a certain personality that was interesting. He'd be on talk shows and all. Did you ever meet Al Capp?
I never met Al. Al had an apartment in New York, and I was walking along the street in New York with Elliot. He said, would you like to meet Al? And I said, well, sure. So we went to his building, and he was out. So I never got to meet him.
He was famous for Lil Abner.
Yes, that was his claim to fame, yes. That was a big, big comic strip back when comic strips were big.
Is it possible for a cartoonist to have two different cartoons going at the same time?
Yes, mostly with help. Mort Walker did Beetle Bailey, and then he created I and Lois and Boner's Ark and a couple others, but he had a staff of people. But it would be very difficult. I had a second comic strip going for a short period at one time, and it didn't get enough papers to make it worth continuing to do, and it was too much to do myself.
You lived in Oklahoma, and we are the land of, as they see us, cowboys and Indians. Did you try to do cartoons that would have been about cowboys and Indians?
You know, maybe. I'm sorry, I can't remember all the things that I failed with. That might have been, because that would have been kind of a fun subject. But I really can't say for sure. I just don't recall.
Well, you were given the idea of Broomhilda. You had to develop Broomhilda's personality.
Yes, I did everything. All I was given was the name Broomhilda about a witch. That was it. So, as I said, most comic strips have planning and thought behind it, but I just sat down that weekend, and the first six strips just bounced out of my head complete. That was all there was to it, and it just went from there.
So then immediately you thought of Broomhilda as being a very inept witch, a poor representative for her witchcraft?
Inept and cranky. Humor mostly is derived from negative situations, so if I had a kind, sweet, competent witch, it wouldn't have been that funny. So she was grumpy and inept and that sort of thing, which to me was a richer ground for humor.
It caught on, and I don't suppose you can say, I know why it caught on. Maybe it's just one of those mysteries.
It caught on because I guess people wanted to read it. That's the only thing I can tell you. I'm in a business where, well, it's like radio, television, movies. If people like it, it works, and if they don't like it, your history.
And then I suppose you were wondering whether your hometown newspaper was going to carry it or not.
They bought it right the first day, and bless their hearts, they've been carrying it for 50 years.
How many newspapers have carried your cartoon at any one time?
I used to keep track a long time ago, but if I were to lose a paper, it made me unhappy, so I quit keeping track. The number I heard was at its peak, it was in around 300 papers.
That's got to be a thrill to know that.
Well, yeah, it is. But I always wound up comparing myself to Peanuts and Garfield, which were in over 2,000. But that's not fair to me. So I never was at the Peanuts or Garfield level as far as circulation or income, but it was a nice living. I would never miss a meal.
When you hit it big with Broomhilda, about how old were you?
Oh, well, 50 years ago, I was 31.
31. So you were able to do some nice things, probably bought a new car, as a matter of fact.
Oh, yes. That was one of the first things I did. I ran out and bought a new car, Nouveau Riche, kind of thing. And then not long after that, we moved from Kansas City. We moved to Santa Barbara, California. My wife said there are better climates than in the Midwest, essentially. And I didn't know any better. But then I found out, yeah, there were better climates. And I have severe ragweed pollen allergies. To my amazement, there are places that don't have ragweed pollen. So I was thrilled about that, too.
And then you moved to Oregon, to Grants Pass?
We lived in Santa Barbara for 7 years, and we moved to Oregon 40 years ago, and I'm still in the same house on the same street.
Early on, you were named the National Cartoonist Society Top Humor Strip.
Yeah, I won the award for the best humor strip, I think it was 1975.
And you've been the creator of Broomhilda all 50 years. Some of them now are passed on from one creator to another, so that's also another feather in your hat.
Yeah, well, I'm entering or beginning to enter more and more into, I guess, if I may use the term, a fairly elite club of guys, not elite, but exclusive, or maybe a club with not many members of people who have done a comic strip all by themselves for 50 years.
How do you keep coming up with ideas?
Well, it's a job. I treat it as a job. I look around at things, and I look at other cartoons like priming a pump. I don't use anybody's ideas, but if I read some cartoons and I start thinking about cartoons and subject matter, it's a process I can't fully explain to you. It's kind of like mental gymnastics. You take something, anything, like a fire plug or a tree or a cat or something, and then you twist it around and make something funny out of it. And I can't describe the mechanics of it specifically. It's an ability, like some people can do math quickly in their head, or some people can run a 4-minute mile. It's just some kind of something that you can do.
Would current events ever make it to Broomhilda? Like, would this COVID-19 ever make an entry?
No, not really. I don't deal with that stuff. They live off in a forest all by themselves. And yeah, I deal with things like computers and telephones, but no, I'm not into the current event stuff.
So then that can't spawn any new ideas. They just have to come out of that little world that you live in with Broomhilda, and you are there thinking about not just her, but you think about these other characters as well, Gaylord Buzzard, yeah, and Nerwin and Wolfie and Big Lump, and you're having conversation with all these people. It's not just Broomhilda.
Well, I have essentially just really four main characters in the comic strip, and over the years, it's simplified down to those four characters, and I deal with those, and they seem to cover all the ground that I want to cover.
We should say that Broomhilda was adapted twice for animated television series. 13 episodes of Broomhilda in a Filmation series, Fabulous Funnies, and NBC.
Yes, back in the, well, when was it, 70s, I guess it was, yeah.
You really became extremely successful beyond the newspapers.
Yeah, it was for a while, yes. I had my 15 minutes of fame, or 15 years of fame, whatever you want to call it.
And then in many books as well.
Yes, there were a lot of reprint books.
Has to be fun to know that you've had that going for you and that it's still interesting to people these 50 years later.
Well, it really is. The way the newspaper pages are set out, there's, generally speaking, a set number of comic strips. They don't add comic strips. They replace comic strips. If they're going to put a new one in, an old one goes out. So it's kind of survival of the fittest. In my beginning, I was chomping at the heels of the old guys, and now new guys are chomping at my heels. So it just keeps going like that.
You think Broomhilda has changed over time, and with your age, you see things differently now that you couldn't have seen when you were in your 30s?
The artwork has simplified quite a bit. For one thing, size of the comic strips as they are printed in newspapers has shrunk several stages over the last 50 years. So drawings now are simpler, because if they were as complex as they were 50 years ago, it would just be too much. So I simplified that. I don't know that I can answer that question specifically, because I would have to look back at what I've done to see if there are changes. I just keep plugging ahead and don't think too much about what went on previously.
How far ahead are you with Broomhilda?
Oh, my. That's almost embarrassing. I'm about a year and a half ahead. I used to hear stories about old guys that were always on the deadline. They'd lit up in Westchester County outside of New York. They'd be coming in to try to get the last trip done before they got into the city to deliver it and go to sleep on the train and miss their stop. I'm kind of a belt and suspenders guy. I always figured that no matter how much money I earned, I spent less, and I always have a backlog prepared and, you know, emergency funds, and so I have an emergency fund of strips. I always wonder why they had trouble with deadlines, because I found it fairly easy every week to just do one or two extra strips. That gave you time to take a vacation or prepare ahead or whatever you wanted to do.
Yeah.
Right now, during this virus thing, about all I've got to do is just sit in the house and draw pictures.
So you're churning them out. I mean, even today or yesterday? Or
I work 5 days a week. I don't ever do anything on weekends.
did you keep certain hours, like 8 to 5, and I'm in the office and I'm going to do cartooning, or how did that work?
The office is a room in my house. Yeah, I do. I'm kind of a middle-class, middle-American, middle-of-the-day guy. I get up and do the morning things, and then I sit down and go to work and do them in the middle of the day. But, yeah, I keep pretty regular hours. They'll vary some from day to day, depending on how long it takes to get the stuff done. But, yeah, 5-day-a-week workers.